Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. When Jesus had finished his sermon, the congregation there in his own hometown just about finished him. He had a way with words, this young preacher, this prophet of prophets, a way with words that almost got him thrown over a cliff. Truth is, nobody smiles when a prophet really hits the bullseye. And the bullseye happens to be your heart and mine. You might want to throw yourself down on your knees or throw the prophet off a cliff, but most of the time, we just wish the prophet or the preacher would preach something else. Make us learn, make us laugh, but whatever you say, don't make us face head on the bitter truth of our sins. Truth hurts. And we human beings can stand very little of it, especially when the truth exposes us for what we really are, laying bare the hidden recesses of our cesspool hearts and dragging out our dirtiest laundry. We belt out that hymn, "Thy Strong Word," and we smile big time when the prophet preaches against those folks out there. But when thy strong word comes to cleave the darkness in our very own hearts, well, we're looking for a different hymn to sing. It is what happens when the prophet who preaches turns his aim on you, putting you in the crosshairs of God's holy law. And that is just what Jesus does there in the midst of his own congregation. He takes those so familiar stories of Elijah and Elisha, beats them like plowshares into swords, and he goes right to the heart. Take this prophet Jesus seriously, and you throw yourself onto your knees, or you'll throw him over a cliff, but those are the only option he is going to give you. No prophet is acceptable in his own hometown. The hometown crowd doesn't want to hear it, especially not from one of its own. In fact, any prophet who tries may well lose his pulpit, his popularity, even his life. Think about, if you will, the prophet Nathan in the Old Testament standing before his king, David. Nathan risked it all. By the time Nathan finishes his little sermon, King David can only say, "Kill the guy who would be so ruthless as to take what didn't belong to him." And then the prophet turns to his king and says to him, "That guy is you." And David could swallow hard and drop to his knees, or even easier, he could just drop Nathan right off a cliff and be done with the whole thing. You know how it goes. David drops to his knees, confessing his sin with a broken spirit, a contrite heart, a man after the Lord's own heart. The prophet risks it all and preaches truth head on. Men, women, children, after God's own heart. That's what our Lord Jesus would make of his hometown church, and that is what he would make of you. But you see, the story of King David is the exception. It's not the norm. The prophet Isaiah will preach, and the prophet Jeremiah, and the prophet Jonah too. And God's people, Israel, will almost always and almost entirely reject the prophet's voice and dance to the beat of the old world's drum, following the old satanic Pied Piper who slithers and swindles and stomps out the truth. And if you happen to ask that hell-bound Israelite, "What were you thinking?" he would tell you the truth. "I was only doing what I thought was right in my own eyes, what was right in my way of thinking. Well, my brother, my sister, isn't that Israelite you and me? The old man in us showing right through our evil hearts, bleeding through. Poor we are in the rags of our sins, impoverished in our foolish, self-concocted righteousness, captive in the chains of habits that we cannot break, shackled in our egos and our lies, blind as fools, doing what is right in our own eyes. And it's true, we can stand precious little truth. But the one who is the way, the truth, and the life knows our true condition. So when Jesus takes the scroll of Isaiah from the synagogue attendant, he reads the purest, sweetest gospel, a place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captive, recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." When Jesus sat down to preach, that's how they did it then, his sermon was short and sweet and to the point. "Today," he said, "this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." Well, there you have it. If you count yourself to be amongst the poor, the blind, a captive held in chains you know you can't break, if you are one burdened down by sin, oppressed by the evil satanic Pharaoh who hounds you day and night, then hear what Jesus is saying. He is present here for you. He has come to bear your sin and to rescue you. He has come preaching good news, and he proclaims liberty to you, for you. You cannot free yourself, but Jesus can, and he does. And I'll tell you this, if the Son sets you free, you're free indeed. Jesus is present with his people, present right here with you. He restores your sight that you too might fix your eyes, not on the blinding ways of the world, but on him, the author and perfecter of your faith. He takes your captor captive and crushes once and for all his head. Satan can harm you no longer. He's judged. The deed is done, said Luther in that hymn. One little word from Jesus can send the devil running. Jesus is the sinner's friend. He is your friend. Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. Don't miss what Jesus is saying to you. In him, the words of the prophet Isaiah are indeed fulfilled. In him, Almighty God himself comes to rescue and redeem you. You are his people. You are, as you are, just as you are, poor, blind, captive, oppressed. He has redeemed me, says Luther in his explanation of the second article of the Apostles' Creed. A lost and condemned creature purchased and won me from all sins, from death, and from the power of the devil. So, what's up with that little church in Nazareth? I mean, did you hear it? The Son of God himself stood right there in their midst, came to their little neighborhood church. And how did the congregation respond to this out-of-this-world, mind-blowing, 200-proof gospel? Well, they all spoke well of him. They all marveled at his gracious words and with such pure, detached politeness. His own received him not. He had claimed to be God's only begotten Son, come to set sinners free. And they said, oh, how nice. Isn't that Joseph's boy? Look what he's become. Such a fine speaker, wouldn't you say? Not a one of them got it. And not a one of them counted themselves to be among the poor, the captive, the blind, and the oppressed. It was then that Jesus had no choice but to pivot and hit them head on with the blunt, hard-hitting truth. And all it took was a little story about Elijah and a little story about Elisha, and all of a sudden that sweet, pandering, polite congregation showed its true colors, and they became a murderous mob. So they rose up and drove him out of the town and brought him to the brow of the hill upon which their town was built so that they could throw him down the cliff. But passing through their midst, he went away. And what a way to go. Soon enough, his sermon would end outside another town, up on another hill, a place called Golgotha. And there, on that hill, sinners will get their way, and Jesus will get his. The one who is anointed with the Spirit is also the one who is anointed with our sins, and not just ours, but the sins of the whole broken world. The one who is rich beyond all measure makes himself the poorest of all, paying his very own life as a ransom for those truly dead broke. The one who proclaims freedom for captives is himself bound in the chains of death. The one who gives sight to the blind is himself blinded by the sweat and blood running down his thorn-crowned head. And the one who is free gives himself to be oppressed by Satan and bound by death. And this he does so that he might lead all our captives into captivity forever. Jesus passes straight through those wrathful enemies, and he welcomes us to follow him. Right through sin, right through death, and into his glorious presence forevermore. His presence where there is fullness of joy. He came to his own, but his own did not receive him. And by this rejection, Jesus gained acceptance for us all. Acceptance before his Father's throne. Well, that's it. Again today, no one less than Jesus comes to First Lutheran Church in Knoxville, Tennessee. For where the Word is, there is the Lord himself. He's on his mission. His mission to the poor, the blind, the captive, and the oppressed. He comes to you. He comes calling you to repentance, turning you to his cross, all for you, and to his empty tomb, all for you. Where his word is proclaimed, there is Jesus doing what he always does, fulfilling the scripture in the ears and hearts and schools and homes of poor, blind, oppressed captives. You can't be freer. In the name of Jesus, amen. May the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.